Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Sometimes people will go, oh, okay, whatever. End of conversation. Other times people are like, what? We make them thirsty. We stir up the hunger within them. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit has to draw them, but we can share. Be ready, in season, out of season, at any time, with anyone, people older than you, people younger, it might be your grandchildren, your children, I don't know, but you're ready at all times to give a reason for what? The hope that lies within us, Jesus Christ.
People are watching you. If they know you're a Christian, and most likely they do, whether you've said so or not, they're going to be watching you even closer. It seems like those who don't believe have a knack for seeing every inconsistency between the way you live and the faith you profess. As Pastor Michael continues our study of 1 Peter, he'll remind us that we need to be ready to take every opportunity to share the truth in a genuine, loving way when they see the hope that you have. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 with today's edition of Burning Hearts.
Peter was just echoing what he had already heard Jesus say throughout Jesus' ministry. You're blessed. How in the world could you consider suffering or people insulting me or whatever? How in the world, where's the silver lining in that? Where's the blessing in that? And I'm going to suggest something to you that just to think about. When we go through tragedy, when we go through difficulties in our life, one of the things that happens, at least for me, and I think for all of us, is this. I'm reminded during those suffering times, I'm reminded that this world's not my home. And let me tell you, gang, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. When I go through suffering, the cords that bind me to this earth are severed. And I realize I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. It's all about Jesus. The backache, for me right now, it's my knee. I did something weird yesterday walking around in Walmart. I'm walking down the aisle, and all of a sudden, I saw something down the aisle. I was like, oh, I'm going to go get that. And I turned, and I hear this crack in my knee. So awesome being older. Older. You didn't see how I said that? Now that I'm in my early 30s, my body's falling apart. Backache. Any kind of trial, man. You're at work and you've been working your rear off and someone else gets the promotion. You get the report from the doctor and it's not great. How could any of that be a blessing? Well, it's a blessing if it reminds you that this world's not your home. No knee pain in heaven. Amen? No other people getting the promotion in heaven. No cancer in heaven. Amen? Let's keep going. I could go for a lot longer on that, but I'm not going to. Verse 15. But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect or reverence, keeping a clear conscience so that when you are accused, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. Peter here says, be ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. I memorized that verse a long time ago in another translation. Be ready in season and out of season is what that translation said. But I like this. Just be ready at any time. Okay? Now, I got to tell you, I went to Bible college, I went to seminary, and I heard this verse a lot. And I always was taught a long word called apologetics, that this verse was speaking of the fact that you and I should be ready to defend the faith. If someone comes and says, what do you do this? That we should be ready to defend. So I would study arguments. I have like 3 books on just how to talk to Mormons when they come to your door. And I was ready, man. I was like, okay, well, turn with me here, and you guys believe this, and this is what the Bible, and I was ready to argue. Let me tell you, that is not primarily what this verse is talking about. You will never, listen, please hear this, you will never argue anybody into heaven. You just won't do it, dude. You cannot shove Jesus down anybody's throat or beat them over the head with your Bible. It will not work. This is why Peter throws in at the end there, when you give this reason for the hope that lies within you, do it with gentleness and respect or reverence. What happened? We've got to be gentle. Doing what? Telling people about the hope that I have. Just sharing very simply with people why I love Jesus. Does that make sense? You say, well, no one ever asked me about that. Man, you start walking after God, you start following God with all your heart, you watch how many people come into your path. I'm just telling you, you'll be on the gauntlet. People will say, how come, especially when you go through trials and you have a smile on your face. Because they're like, how in the world could that have happened to you? You had that loved one taken from you or whatever, and you're still joyful? How does that happen? You're like, I don't know, man. Jesus. That's how it happens. I just fell in love and gave my life to Jesus, and now I'm a different person. Now, sometimes people will go, oh, okay, whatever. End of conversation. Other times people are like, what? We make them thirsty. We stir up the hunger within them. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit has to draw them, but we can share. Be ready, in season, out of season, at any time. With anyone, people older than you, people younger, it might be your grandchildren, your children, I don't know, but you're ready at all times to give a reason for what? The hope that lies within us, Jesus Christ. And why do we need to be ready for this, guys? This is it. Listen, it's because today in 2021, people desperately need hope. They do, man. That's why we put that as our advertising thing in the paper. Got hope? People are needing of hope. Now, they may not articulate it that way. They're not walking down the street going, I need hope. They're not saying that. But I'm telling you, they have a deep desire for they need a light at the end of the tunnel. Because everybody's told them, if you get more education, if you get more money, if you get a bigger house, if you get more kid, whatever it is, and then they do that and they're like, it doesn't satisfy. I want to share with you four things that I think why people are without hope today, and that we can share with them and be ready in season, out of season, at any time to share with them the hope that we have within us. You guys with me? So I'll do this as quick as I possibly can. The first thing is this, people have a hole in their heart. I had a hole in my heart. I really did. There was an emptiness inside that really, I didn't even know how to articulate it, but I needed somebody to fill. Very famous theologian and thinker by the name of Augustine said this, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, God. I love that. Our hearts are restless, man, until we find the Lord. Another famous theologian thinker named Pascal very famously said this quote. He said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man that cannot be satisfied by anything but God. A God-shaped vacuum, a hole that's in there. And dude, I can try drugs, I can try alcohol, I can try sex, I can try money, I can try whatever to fill that void. But I'm telling you, I was created and every person on this planet was created with a God-shaped hole in their life. And nothing will satisfy. Life will never seem great until you find Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can fill the hole. I was thinking just about living here in Telluride and the whole Airbnb trade we got going here. Pretty cool. You know, people will, rent their home out or whatever, and it's an Airbnb and let people come and stay. So I don't know if you've ever done that before, but if you have, you get online and you type in where you're going and Airbnb or whatever, and you might see pictures of different places and things like that. And so you finally pick one and you see what the cost is and you pick it. And then, you sign the contract or whatever, and you drive there. And so let's say you pull up into the driveway and you're there and you're like, wow, this is great. And so you get out of your car, you get your luggage, you walk up to the front door. And this is, I'm gonna tell you what you're gonna find. You're gonna find a hole there. There's this little hole that until it's filled with the right thing, you ain't getting in. You're not going to enter into your week of vacation. You're not going to enter into your rest. Are you guys following me here? Okay. Now, here's the deal. I was thinking about this as using it as an illustration, and I thought, now, as the Airbnb owner, are they just a jerk? Are they being mean? Like they advertise this beautiful home, and it's got a hot tub and a king-size bed, and it's awesome. It's in a great location, but they never mention that there's this hole that has to be filled before I can enjoy this. Are they being mean? They're not being mean. The reason they do that, gang, is because they want something. The Airbnb owner wants a relationship with you. That relationship includes signing a contract and paying the moolah, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't have a hole in the front door with a keyhole there. They wouldn't have it. Anybody could just walk in and squat down and take over, and they would. That's how it would be. But if you want in, you're going to have to use the key that they provide to fill the hole. You guys with me? They're not being mean. They want relationship with you. I'm going to tell you the same thing was with our God. He has created everybody you work with, everybody you live near, everybody in your family, everybody you go to school with, anybody on this planet, God created them with a hole in their heart. Why? Because he wants relationship with them. And here's the deal. The moolah, the price, he paid it. He paid it. Amen? Listen, gang, you can search the rest of your life trying to fill that God-shaped vacuum, and nothing will satisfy, man. And you know what? If we could be here for 5 or 6 hours and just listen to the people you're sitting next to and hear their story, you would hear again and again and again a lot of us weirdos who would say, yeah, I did try some other stuff. Nothing worked. I tried it. Nothing fulfilled me like Jesus. Amen? So everybody has a hole in their heart. The second thing is this. I think everybody is lonely. They feel like they're on their own. I know I did. I totally did. Just, you know, I'm by myself. Not only are people essentially empty with this hole in their heart, but they all are lonely because we were made to have companionship. So what do? We try to find earthly relationships to fulfill this need. When the truth is, we have access to a friend, capital F. The Bible tells us who sticks closer than a brother. The Bible tells us he's a friend. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That's the kind of friendship, gang, that we were created for and that we need. Let me tell you, when I was out there treading water, and I thought, this is it. Even though I was out there, I did not feel alone. And I know the world might look at me and go, yeah, you were talking to yourself out there. I don't, man. I felt like there was a dude treading with me. Jesus. I wasn't even alone. I was literally, I'm not even kidding you. I was talking to him like this. Jesus, here we go. This is going to be interesting. I've always wanted to be, this is what I was saying to Jesus. It's like, I've always wanted to be in a situation like this, man. I mean, is this it? Is this the day? Am I going to see you face to face? I was nervous for Kelly, but I wasn't nervous for me, man, because I was out there not alone. You know, my wife deals with chronic pain, and she's got an issue that most of you guys know about. But at times, when the barometric pressure changes, Kelly is out for like a day, 2 days, 3 days. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times I'm just at home, my office is at home, I study, and I'm by myself a lot. And sometimes I've had the thoughts in our marriage when she has times like that, and I've thought, I didn't sign up for this. I want my buddy. I want to talk to her. I don't like being by myself. I get lonely. But the truth is, even in those moments, God's shown me, Michael, you're not alone, man. You're not alone. So I walk around the cabin and I talk to Jesus when she doesn't feel good. You guys with me? We are never alone when we're with Christ. When all my kids left and went to college, I remember when my kids left, you know, I remember watching Bill Cosby's show, right? And he was like, I can't wait for my kids to leave. So I thought that's how it was going to be. It wasn't like that. They drove off and I was like, crying. Kelly's like, it's okay, honey. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But even when all my kids abandoned me, I wasn't really alone, man. I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He never leaves me. Let me tell you something. People need to hear the hope that is within us. Dude, the hole that you're feeling that you can't, that's Jesus can fill that. The friendship that you need, the loneliness that you feel, Jesus can combat that. Amen? The third thing is this. Just the third thing I think people deal with is just a painful guilt. The truth is, no matter how we may try to deny it, all of us have dropped the ball at one point or another. We've all made some pretty serious mistakes. And there's a guilt that's associated with that. There was a woman in our church every year on the same day she would come in for counseling. And we were there for almost 2 decades. So I saw this woman a lot. You know what the day that she would always come in for counseling was? It was the anniversary of when she had had an abortion. She was a teenage girl. Every year she would be ruined on that day. And so she made an appointment. She would come in. And I would talk with her and I would encourage her. And I'd say, yeah, that was a bummer. That's a mistake. But God loves you. And God forgives you. He absolutely, I can't do anything that would make him not love me anymore. Amen? Listen, there are people in this world that need to hear that message. The painful guilt that they're holding needs to be released. They need to hear your mistakes can be forgiven. Your sins can be forgotten. Your guilt can be lifted. I don't know. I did prison ministry, and you talk to these guys, and they would tell you stuff they did, and I think to myself, yeah, you should be in here. You're freaking me out. But the message was always the same. Dude, no matter what you've done, man, doesn't matter. I mean, there's consequences on this earth, but your heavenly Father loves your guts. When I was a kid, we used to say, I hate your guts on the playground. And I said that one time to my sister, and my mom goes, you don't ever say that. You love her guts. Okay, Mom. Let me tell you something, man. Jesus loves your guts. Amen. All right. Let's keep going here. Number four, the last thing here, is just that people need to understand. They don't understand heaven. They don't. Their eternity is unsure. You know, the number one thing that we all fear, gang, humans, death. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, that Jesus came to free those who were held in slavery all their lives by what? The fear of death. Jesus came to free us from that fear. Gang, I'm so happy that I'm saved. I'm so glad that you're a Christian, if you are. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I don't have to be angry when one of my loved ones passes on. I don't have to be that way. I am free from death, the fear of death. Does that make sense? Paul said it, 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from this old raggedy body that cracks in Walmart is to be with the Master. This is the goal. This is the hope for all of us. Amen? Jesus said it this way, and I got to read it to you. In John chapter 14, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. That's the promise. Faith believes it. Hope anticipates it. Patience endures until you can obtain it. That's it. He's coming back for those that love him. Gang, as the days grow darker, as the sinfulness around us on television, on everywhere, in the school systems, as we see just sin intensify in our lifetime, like we can't even imagine, as that happens, gang, the darker it gets, the brighter of a light we can be. And I'm telling you, please hear me say this, as we go through hard times, the world is watching us. And they're waiting to see, are we gonna be whining and complaining, or are we gonna rejoice? Suffering, man. God said, I'm blessed. Well, you're crazy. Maybe. Crazy for Jesus. The way of the cross is foolishness to them that don't believe. But to those of us that do, it's the power of God into salvation. Amen? Amen. It's him. So the reason, gang, I have hope in my heart. Can I say it this way? It's because of Jesus Christ. It's just Jesus. How do I give the answer? People ask all kinds of really hard questions today. How do I give an answer? It's just Jesus, man. He's the key to the emptiness that I feel. Maybe you feel that too. He'll fill that hole in your heart, absolutely. He's the friend that I can talk to continually, treading water in the middle of the ocean, or pulled over on the side of the road because I lost my job and I don't know how to go home and tell my wife. He's a friend that is there, and I can talk to him continually. You guys with me? People need to hear this. Amen? You don't have to be haunted by your past any longer. The painful guilt, gone. Jesus can wipe that slate clean. Amen? Like, like the Bible says, like wool, white. Man, I remember hearing that when I was a young teenager. You could be as white as wool. You know, we don't, what does that mean? But I'm telling you, man, when the light bulb came on for me and I realized my heart is dark. I am dark towards others, towards God. And he can wipe that darkness out. He can make me as clean as whitewashed wool. What? People need to hear that message, and they need to hear that they can, that they're going to live forever, that their eternity can be sure, it can be secure, that they can spend every second of the rest of infinity with someone that loves them deeply. Amen? They need to know, I was empty, I was lonely, I was guilty, I had anxiety about death. Not anymore. There's a hope inside of me, a living hope that we need to be ready to share. Amen? And let me tell you, it's just Jesus. This is the last thing I'll say. In John chapter 9, we read this story. It's so cool. Jesus heals this guy that's blind. Okay, been blind for a long time. So Jesus heals him. But it's on the Sabbath day. So the religious people are ticked. Like, you're not supposed to do work on the Sabbath day. Which is so... The dude's been blind. Jesus just healed him. And you're ticked that Jesus did it on Saturday? What? But that's how they were. They were mad. So they go to the guy that was formerly blind. Who did this to you? Who healed you? He did it on the Sabbath day. Who did this? And the guy's response is, his name's Jesus. His name's Jesus. So then they go to the guy's parents. And they're like, okay, who did this to him? He did it on the Sabbath. We want to know. And the Bible tells us there in John 9, it says that the parents are scared that they're going to be excommunicated. They're not going to be able to go to church anymore. So they're like, hey, man, he's a grown man. Ask him. He'll tell you. He's a big boy. So then they go back to the guy, the religious leaders. And they're like, why did he do this on the Sabbath? Tell us who did this. And I love this guy's response. And this is the message. It's in John 9:25. I'll put it up here. He responded, or he answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind. Now I can see. I love that. You know, he's a sinner. If he did this on the Sabbath, the guy's like, hey, time out, man. I've been blind my whole life. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I just know this. That's all I know. I was blind, but now I can see. You with me? I mean, we sing the song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What's the next line? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. Listen, people have a lot of questions. A couple years ago, some lady was walking around out here while I'm preaching, and I could see it. No one else could. As soon as I was done and we prayed and everybody got up and left, she made a beeline and came in here. Some of you may remember because she was very loud, very upset with my stance on certain lifestyles. She didn't go to church here, but she was mad. So I talked with her in a nice voice. Well, what about this? And she, what about it? She's just throwing questions at me. Let me tell you something. People have a lot of questions, and sometimes we don't have all the answers. We think, well, somebody smarter than me needs to talk to that lady. Let me tell you something right now. You don't have to have all the answers. Your answer can be as simple and as bold as that blind man's was. Well, I don't know. I just know this. I was blind. Now I can see. I was empty. That hole. Now I'm filled. I was lonely. Now I have a friend. Amen. I had anxiety about death. I was afraid. Now the fear of death is gone. Like, I don't even, like, I can't actually wait. It's going to be killer. See what I did there? Here's my point. The answer is Jesus. What has he done for you? Gang, as the darkness rises around us, may you and I be those that shine brightly. And man, it's great to have answers for, you know, your faith and all. It's great. But the main thing I hope you get today is it's very simple. This is what God's done for me. Right? That guilt, gone.
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage of 1 Peter that Pastor Michael discussed and use it to fuel your own conversations with the Lord. There's so much to learn from this New Testament book, and we're so glad you've chosen to study it with us. Maybe today, as you were listening, you realized there's something missing, some piece of this life that doesn't really fit. Maybe it's time to learn more about Jesus and how he can radically transform your life. If that sounds like you, then take a moment right now to visit our website, thealpinechapel.com. Under the menu, you'll find a page called Something Missing, and it's going to fill in that gap. You'll find out all about who Jesus is and what his plans are for you and why you need him so much. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. Would you let us know, too? We'd love the chance to talk with you more and answer any questions you may still have. Just head to the contact page at our website and send us a quick email. We also want to encourage you to get involved in a Bible-teaching church in your area. If your area happens to be Telluride, why not come join us this weekend at the Alpine Chapel? We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m., and we're easy to find. Visit thealpinechapel.com for directions. Be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts. That officially brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for tuning in to Burning Hearts.